Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and this is the fifth Sunday of Lent, March 18th, 2018, and we're glad you're with us here today. We're only 2 weeks away from Easter, Easter Sunday, Resurrection of the Lord, and of course, as we talked last week, you know, every day is the Resurrection of the Lord. Every day is and sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes days can be Good Fridays. So kind of this tritium that we're heading towards, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then, of course, Holy Saturday, and then Easter Day. We have this these three beautiful days of waiting, these three beautiful days of celebration. And, of course, next Sunday will be Palm Sunday. And it's kind of interesting, you know, too, that we look at how Christ's life unfolded, you know, and him coming into Jerusalem. And, of course, everyone is happy to see him, right? And then, unfortunately, just later that same week, how things turn, how the people turn against him, and of course the current day religious leaders back then turn against him and want to kill him, and want to kill him because he's doing good things. And we're going to see some of that in the scriptures today too. But we're glad you're here with us here today, and if you got any thoughts or questions about the Catholic Church, you can reach the Diocese of Kalamazoo at diokzoo.org. If you're interested in more about the Catholic Church and Catholic Radio, you can tune in to 91.5 in the Kalamazoo area, 89.7 FM, AM 1140 in Grand Rapids area, and 98.3 also in the Grand Rapids area. And then, of course, I'm mainly out of St. John Bosco Catholic Church in Matawan, and you can reach me there at that parish. You can drop an email or make a phone call to us out there if you want to get a hold of me and talk to me about anything. And we're glad you're with us here today on this fifth Sunday of Lent. We've got some beautiful scripture readings to go over, and some other things to talk about. Things of course that are in the news, and always the awful politics. And I'll tell you what, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican who's perceived to be running things in this country and countries throughout the world, you know, I love this country very much, but I'll tell you what, we are a mess, and we are addicted to the news cycle. And I'll tell you what, my brothers and sisters, it's a bad addiction. This is not good for us. I think it's the worst thing ever, because it perpetuates fear, it perpetuates division, it perpetuates hate and anger. And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of people, I mean, we really need to wake up. We need to wake up and stop listening to these politicians, stop listening to the constant drumbeat of the news media on both sides. You know, I don't care if you're listening to CNN or if you're listening to Fox News. I'll tell you what, I think most of it is all garbage. It's just garbage. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we need to return back to taking care of our families and loving our families, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven us. And, you know, that's a long forgotten word, too, you know, this forgiveness. To forgive people, you know, the common thing now is just, you know, pay them back or never talk to them again, you know, and that's a dreadful way for us to live our lives. And, you know, maybe that's the way the government wants us to live our lives, you know, but you look at the tragedies that are happening, that are unfolding in families, horrific tragedies that are happening. And I'll tell you what, we've gotten so far away from God. We've gotten away from our moral our groundedness in moral belief and forgiveness and love. And we'll read the scriptures today and we'll see what happens, right? But it's our decision, you know. We're making ourselves addicted, enslaved to the news media and to the politicians through their fear and their anger. And it's just a dreadful thing. But I hope, I don't want to become part of that either by talking about it all the time. But it is part of the problem. It is a huge part of the problem. because we trust these people. We trust these people that they're telling us the truth. And they're not. They're lying. They are lying to us over and over and over again. Lying to us. Manipulating us. And so we break loose this one day, right? We try to break loose this one day on Sunday. We try to break loose of the tractor beam of the world and worldliness and addiction to money and work and to break loose from these things and really sit quietly and listen to the Word of God. Sit quietly and listen to the things that are going on in your head, the things that God wants to help you with, the things that God wants to heal. And so our first reading today, very beautiful reading from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their fathers, the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt, for they broke my covenant. And I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have to need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord. For I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is from Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. It's Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then our gospel reading this weekend is the Gospel of John 12, 20 through 33. That's the Gospel of John 12, 20 through 23. Excuse me, through 33. 12, 20 through 33. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now. Yet what would I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder. But others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, a beautiful gospel reading today, very hard-hitting, really kind of shaking us. You know, this gospel is read many times at the funeral liturgy, at the funeral mass, when people pass away. And of course, this time of the year, especially in these last few weeks, we all encounter death in our lives. And my brothers and sisters, I know that when we're in the midst of it, all we feel is pain. We feel tremendous pain for the loss we have incurred. And I think in a certain way, you know, and we do, not only in a certain way, we do all belong to God. We belong to God. We don't belong to our brothers and sisters, our husbands or wives. And our children do not belong to us. They belong to God. They are gifts from God. And when God calls us home, our real home, He calls us home to our real home, out of this world. And we need to meditate on that. We need to think about that. And the scriptures are very clear that we are being called individually. God has written these things on our hearts. And it is only my fault and your fault if we do not respond to them. These deep recesses within our own hearts. Now, we may have woundedness, we may have pain, we may have things that we're going through. We may have a very tumultuous life, but we must take the time, just a moment, just a few seconds, that calmness, to listen. What God is saying to me, what He is asking me, to say that I'm sorry, to say that I'm wounded, to say that I need help, to get on my knees and ask God for forgiveness, to draw me back close to Him, to help me heal, from the death of my mother, the death of my father, the death of a spouse, a brother or a sister, the death of a child. God help me. God help us all. Help us to heal. Help us not to be afraid anymore. Help us not be drawn away by the chaos of this world, the chaos of the politicians, the chaos of the news media, the chaos of work. But let me be drawn into God's grace, God's saving grace. God has planned for me. God's great love for me. Church has some very beautiful things. And I talk softly there, my brothers and sisters, so that even myself may get calmed down from this world. Calmed down from it. Stop listening, you know, having the TV or the radio on all the time. Talking on the phone, texting, all the time. Sometimes I think we become like robots. Our hearts are drifting away, melting away, almost adrift. You know, many Catholic theologians have always said that the mind is very much like the man, but the heart is very much like the woman, the feminine. And my brothers and sisters, we don't have so much of a problem with our minds, do we? Because we're always thinking. Too much thinking. Thinking we know what's best. Thinking that it's good to work 7 days a week. Thinking that it's good to take the life of our own child. Thinking that it's saving money. It's saving the world. There's not enough food to eat. All these nonsensical things we think of in our minds. And never using our hearts. Never thinking about the side of us that I think really is very strong with the woman. The woman who wants to preserve life. The woman who wants to save life. The woman who wants to feed the children, clothe the children, have a nice place for the children to live. Nurturing, loving, kind. But we also have to use the intellect, the mind as well, and balancing these two things out. And Scripture helps us do that, but in a very powerful way, even in just this last week. Just this last week with Stephen Hawking dying. You know, many people say that he was an atheist. He didn't believe in the afterlife. But he did say some very interesting things, and he had a lot of woundedness, a very sorrowful life in a lot of ways. You know, at age 21, being diagnosed with this ALS disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. But I think he was a good man. I think he really tried to help humanity. In a very beautiful way, he makes this comment. The journey is certainly worth taking. For as Hawking says, the reward of understanding the universe may be a glimpse of the mind of God. So to focus in on that, to think about that, the mind of God. And what do we become? And in a certain way, we become not only the mind, but the heart for God. So what would God do today? What would I do today to make things better in the world? Am I willing to take that challenge? See? But many of us are like, no, that's for someone else to do. That's for the religious to do, the deacons, the priests, the pastors. They can take care of that stuff. But my brothers and sisters, I am not going to be standing next to you when you die. I am not going to be standing next to you when you go home. Unless we go home on the same day, which is possible. Many of us will be standing there. But what will my story be? What will I talk about? Will I be standing there still blaming my mom and dad, or my brother or my sister, or something that happened to me 40 years ago? Something that someone did me wrong? And I understand the wounds. I understand some wounds, and some are very terrible, and I'm very sorry for those things. But my brothers and sisters, we must try to heal. We must make an attempt to try to heal. So God has, this reading from Jeremiah, this first reading, God has engraved this on our hearts. God has. God the Father has engraved these words on our hearts. A new covenant with all persons to be written on our hearts. But it is the heart. The Catechism says this. It is the heart. The depth of one's being is in the heart. This is where we decide for or against God. The tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, now become the tablets of our hearts. And we decide individually what we are going to do. If we are going to follow God, or if we are going to just totally reject that. Say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. This has nothing to do with me. I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm not interested in any of those things. There's a very beautiful reading here from the Catechism. I want to read this from Catholic Catechism 2713. It's just a beautiful reading. And I'll tell you, if you don't have a catechism in the Catholic Church, it's a big green, big book, about 2.5 inches thick. And it is full of beautiful teachings of the Church, especially prayer, teachings about prayer. And it's all cross-referenced with Scripture. See? Scripture and tradition. In case you're just joining us, this is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. This is the Epiphany Radio Program. And yes, we are calling you to come back to the Church. 2 weeks till Easter, 1 week till Palm Sunday, next Sunday. So if you want to at least get those poems, right? So let's look about this, about prayer, because we talked earlier about being quiet and how we read these tablets in our hearts. These tablets. Or as our heart becomes stone. See, so God goes from writing on stone to writing on flesh. My heart. Your heart. See? We cannot escape this, my brothers and sisters. You cannot just blow this off and say, it doesn't include me. I don't belong to a church. No. You are a human being. Made in the image and likeness of God. In His will. Here we go, 27:13. Contemplative prayer is the simplest expression of the mystery of prayer. It is a gift, a grace. It can be accepted only in humility and poverty. Contemplative prayer is a covenant relationship established by God within our hearts. Contemplative prayer is a communion in which the Holy Trinity conforms man and woman, the image of God, into His likeness. To His likeness. To the likeness of God Himself. Or herself, if you want to say that. But God is not a man or a woman. We are the men. We are the women. God creates us. The Creator is over us. We do not create God. The gods we create are false and lead us to false things. So beautiful. So try that contemplative prayer. Let yourself go. Let your will go. Let your identity go. Your title, professor of this, doctor of that, king of this, boss of that, owner of this, owner of that. And just go by your first name. John. Teresa. Just your first name. That's who you are. Just your first name. Contemplate on that with God. Our second reading, we go through these. Complete submission to the Father's will. If it is, and Jesus says, if it is possible for this cup to pass from me, free and perfect instrument of love. These are the things that we can become by letting our will, my own selfish will, go and letting God's will come into me and through me. And we learn this many times. Learn this obedience through suffering. When we lose a loved one, many times we go one of two directions. We either get further away from God or we get closer to God. The answer is to get closer, not to run away. Death is a reality. Death is a pathway. death is the great reality of who we are as human beings. We will all leave here. We will all leave this place. And we will end up in one of two places: heaven, the will of God, or hell, the will of me, what I want. I choose it. See, I choose it. And then on to the gospel. The great battle of conversion. The battle requires conversion. The soul is the innermost aspect of the person. The soul, some say, residing right there in the heart of each man, woman, and child. So what shall I say to the Father? Why I came? Jesus is the name above every other name. They anticipate Jesus' victory over the great ruler of the world, Satan himself. Pray to deliver us from evil. All men and women are called into union with God through Jesus Christ. And we ask this prayer. Jesus, draw all to himself. Draw all of us to you. The movement of a contrite heart to conversion by the grace of a merciful God. For the Son alone descended from heaven and causes us to ascend there with him by his cross, resurrection, and ascension. Beautiful words, my brothers and sisters. So many things to pray about this week. Many things to think about this week as you go through this week. Go to EWTN's website, EWTN.com. Beautiful website there with lots of information. Go to Catholic.com, which is another beautiful website with the Catholic Church. A lot of evangelistic materials on there explaining different things about the church, why the Catholic Church does this or does that. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, more than anything, search for a change in your life. Springtime is coming upon us. New things are happening. The trees are starting to bud. We see the birds coming back. Whenever I see the birds, I think of the Holy Spirit, right? I see a bird fly by, I make the sign of the cross. You know, I think about the Holy Spirit. I think about things that are coming back to life, renewing again. And God gives us this opportunity every year in a very profound way all around us. But if I'm constantly working all the time, if I'm constantly focused on myself all the time, I cannot see any of these things. I don't see the ice melting on the lakes. The water is back again for baptism. The Holy Spirit is flying through the air, right? Easter is coming upon us once again. My brothers and sisters, you can't make this stuff up. And this happens every year, every day of our lives. So stop kidding yourself. Stop telling yourself these lies. Stop listening to the news media and the politicians and all the lies that they have. And let's start listening to God, the God who has written these things on your heart personally. Come back to church. Come back to Mass. Go back to the church of your childhood. Start there. Start there and pray. Pray for our families. Pray for our world. Pray for our country. Pray for those who have much less than we do. Okay? We're a very rich country, a very blessed country, and so many people are suffering. So please pray. Pray and forgive. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.